We have so much, don't we?
I don't know exactly where the Lord's going to take me tonight. I had all kinds of thoughts all afternoon long, but sometimes, it doesn't go exactly like what we might think as a man of God standing up by here. But you know what? I know this. After 43 years of trying to walk with the Lord, every time that I walked with Him and held His hand, I got where I needed to go. Amen. Every time that I didn't do that, I didn't get where I needed to go, and it was a mess. And so I want to lean on Him this afternoon. I want Him to be honored and glorified. I want Him to be lifted up. I want Him to be seen because He is my God and He is my King. And I think we need to be reminded from time to time, people, of who we serve. Every age, it seems like there's been those that would stand up no matter what the case may be, no matter what was thrown at the Church of the True and Living God. There were always those faithful few that would fight on and march on that we might have the opportunities that we have today. And I wonder, are we part of that group? Are one of you part of that group? Are you the next Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that's going to stand up, and defy the authorities that might be that say we can't do this anymore? Friend, I don't care what they say about what we believe. I know that it's the truth of God's Word, and the truth will set people free. People don't like to be pointed. They don't like their sins pointed out. That's why they don't want a Savior. Why they don't want a Messiah. They don't want someone that has come and died for them. Because that would make them guilty, wouldn't it? If they accepted that. That would make them guilty because we are all guilty, my friend. We'll all stand before the Lord, the Bible says, one day after a while. But in the meantime, there's things for us to do. I love the Lord today. I love what God has done in my life. I love Him because, first of all, He heard me. Me. Brother, He heard me. This is what I think of myself. I stand before you a broken man. Humanity's broken, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. Society is broken. God is perfect. And God has come along and He's mended this whole human nature together by His grace and by His love and by His blood. And through Him, we are made perfect. And through Him, we've got a work to do to reach a lost and dying world. That's what's important. Go ye therefore into all the world. Isn't that what the commission was to the church? We've got several representatives here of the churches, and that just does my heart good. I've been in your churches. I've sang with you. I've prayed with you. I've cried with you. I've prayed through the years for you, and I know that you've done the same for me in the different endeavors that I've been in, my friend. So a fellowship meeting of this sort is a wonderful thing to me. It makes my heart sing today to know that God still has people that will come together to honor and to glorify Him, to lift Him up above all things. I just want us to let go of the world a little while, come together and worship one with another. Praise His sweet and holy name. The psalmist says it throughout all psalms. He's worthy to be praised, is he not? He's worthy to be uplifted. He's worthy to be noticed and to be looked at. He's worthy to get all the recollection that we can give Him, my friend. Our lives, they come in a very far second when it comes to Jesus Christ. When you think of what He's done for you. The psalmist in a couple of different places talked about not forgetting the benefits that we have of being a child of God. I don't know about you, but when I was 18 years old, just turned 18 years old, I hadn't lived the best life there was to live. I was trying to fill it up with the things of the world. I was trying to find some kind of happiness, some kind of direction, as young people do, my friend. And then someone came along, praise be unto God, and pointed me to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Someone, my friend, and that was a human being. That was someone that God had saved and God had called and God commissioned them to spread the word. Because I want you to all know we're all missionaries in our hearts. We should be. We should want to share what God's done for us. I think sometimes we just get too quiet, people. Whether we're afraid or whether we're embarrassed or whatever the case may be, because we don't have to. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the ones that He chose to go into the world. Those few. Because the Bible says many. Many are going to be called, but few are going to be chosen. Many are going to reject Jesus Christ and His plan. And that should not stop us, my friend. That shouldn't get us down. When we hear of people being saved, praise be unto God. We just keep fighting on. Because I do know one thing. The prophet said that his word would not return unto him void, but it would go out and prosper whereunto he sent it. That's the secret there. That's what you should cling to. It's not your job to send it. It's not your job to direct it. It's not our job, my friend, to put it out there. It's for God, my friend, to direct it into the hearts of the sinners. He did me and you, if you've ever been truly saved by the grace of God. Changed your life, did he not? If he didn't, then I suggest you pray. Because that's the only way you're going to get it. In the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, I guess I'll go there. It's just a reminder of us, for us that have been born again by the Spirit of God, saved. However, the vernacular that you want to use today, and some people don't understand all that, but I have been changed by Jesus Christ. I have been supernaturally changed by Jesus Christ. Let's just put it out there very plainly, because I can change all I want, but my friend, it's not the change that Jesus can bring. You can decide to live a good life. You can decide to get rid of bad habits. You can decide to live a good life to the best of your ability. But my friend, unless God saves your soul, you'll never reach heaven. Amen. Is that not the message that we want to send to the world? No matter what they do, no matter how big of a churches they build, no matter how many people they talk to, no matter how many people they feed, no matter how many people they may see along the road and point them, my friend, unless they're born again and saved by Jesus Christ and changed supernaturally, they won't make it to heaven. I've got a lot of loved ones in my life that need to get supernaturally changed. A lot of people along life's way that I've met in not just this country, but other countries that need to get changed by God's grace. Who's going to tell them if we don't? I guess that's what I'm trying to get at tonight. Who's going to tell them? If the redeemed of God don't tell the world, my friend, they have no hope. It's because I didn't make the plan. It's whereby God made that plan. Down in that 8th verse, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so, where are the Hebrew children today? Where is Daniel today, who was willing to be thrown into the lion's den, who would not change and who would not reverence something else other than his God that he knew and that he loved and knew he could count on? No matter what the outcome or the circumstances is, my friend, I want you to know, we win either way. Right? Isn't that what it's saying? We win either way, whether the Lord spares us or whether the Lord doesn't. I'm going home to be with Him in glory. No more pain, no more heart surgeries, no more anything on the decaying of this broken body, my friend. I will be finally made perfect that I can praise God perfectly. And I don't think He asks a whole lot of us. I think sometimes we act like He asks, wants a lot of us. You mean I got to go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? A revival, you go every night? Yeah, every night. Amen. Unless I'm thrown up somewhere. Sorry, but that's... Preachers are sometimes stupid because they'll go to the house of the Lord when they're half dead. It's just a burning fire, and it's because we want to share what God's done. Amen. We want to show you and encourage you. That's my thing today. I didn't know just exactly what I would bring to you tonight. I want to say this, that I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand before my brothers and sisters. I love you one and all. I have lifted you up and am still lifting you up because there's a great work to do. There's many souls that need to be saved by the grace of God. And there's very few of us, it seems like, anymore that is willing to go that extra mile and share what God's done. Lift Him up a little bit higher than what you've done before. Everywhere I've gone lately, it seems like I said, you know, if we just give 1% more, just see what happens by the end of the year. 1% more of your time, 1% more of reading and studying, 1% more time praying down on your knees, 1% more of your money. You see what God would do for you, my friend. He'll bless us beyond compare. Maybe people don't like to deal with numbers, but you do more for God, He'll outdo you every time. And the end result, my friend, to me, and the end result that I want is to hear more of what happened in Southside. People coming to knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Uniting with the church that we have more workers had to go out into this field and in these vineyards and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The first part of that second chapter, it says, "And you He hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." You were dead. And I think sometimes I wonder if we're still dead. Yeah. Why do I say that? Because I don't seemingly hear much from the people of God anymore. I don't seem to, you know, I was something I did all my life. It may seem silly to you, and maybe you don't do this. It doesn't matter, but I'm just telling you, you know, after the Lord saved me, I used to pray at dinner, and I pray wherever. I'd get together at people's houses. The last thing we'd do before we hugged and said goodbye was had a prayer to the Lord. And it seemed like we don't do those things anymore. Why don't we do those things, friend? Do we think that they're not important? Well, I think they are important. I sat down and eat lunch with a family member, and children, and they just start eating. I said, "I'm going to pray." And I'll eat if you want. Kind of rude, I guess, but they understood. It was something that they got out of the routine of doing. I was once dead, friends. Dead. God saw me as dead. He sees you. If you're not saved by His grace, you're dead in the eyes of the Lord, my friend. And He's made a remedy to change that. He's made a way that to supernaturally change you, to bring you around, to make you one of His, and put you in the field to labor for Him until we get to go home to be with Him in glory in the songs that we sing about. "You hath He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's the Bible calling us the children of disobedience. And we followed the one that was of this world. Who was that? That's none other than Satan. That's none other than his domain around here. And he's going about, Scripture says, and this is very familiar to you Bible readers, but he is, it helps to be reminded, I think, from time to time, he's right there. Satan's right there. He hates you. He hates your family. He will get them whenever that he can. He will seduce them. He will bring them into his fold. And friends, that's what we fight against, do we not? Is that not what we want to fight against and tell our children and our children's children and everyone that would listen? There's a better way. Don't stay dead. Let God make you alive. Let God quicken you. Don't walk according to the course of this world. Don't walk according to the ideas and the ideologies of this world. There's all kinds. You can find one to fit your lifestyle if you want to. Live that kind of lifestyle, and they can justify it all they want, and do each and every day. But my friend, I see one God, one faith, one baptism. My friend, I'm not apologetic when I say there is no other name whereby men can be saved than Jesus Christ. You hear me? I'm not apologizing for that. It's not Buddha. It's not the rest of the isms in the world. It's Jesus Christ. Whether they want to believe it or not, I'm not changing my story. That's who changed me. That's who made me alive. That's who made me passionate about what I believe in and how I want to reach a lost and dying world. I want to reach my family. I want to reach my mother who's lost. I want to reach the people that are around me, my friend. And we can only do that with the truth. Yeah, you might get rejected. You might get mocked. You might get tossed aside. It's all part of it. He goes on to say, "Among whom also we had our conversations in times past with the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's who I was. Ephesian letter that Paul penned so long ago I don't know the math. I don't know how long ago. You might know that preacher. I don't know. But I just know that a long time ago, God directed this man to pin down something that's my life. Isn't that amazing? And if you look at it a little closer, I think you can put your name in there. You can put your own name right there and maybe others. I don't know. But I know about me. I know how that I was. And I know what God did for me. I know that He heard me. He heard my voice and my supplications. That's why I love Him, the psalmist said. Well, that's why I love Him today. Because He did hear me. And He brought me from that death. He gave me life. And all that He asked that I'd walk in His love and let His light shine in the world and tell others that they have a chance and an opportunity to be saved. That's all God wants from you. Live your life. Let your light shine. Whether you're in school, whether you're on a job somewhere, whether you're retired. It matters not, my friend, because the Lord can be shown anywhere and everywhere that we go. And needs to be more often than not. But God. But God. There's no. I like it when He's black and white. I like it when God is plain. I don't know all the mysteries of the Bible. I'm not going to stand up here and say I even get close. The more I get, the older I get, and the more I read, the less I know. The book just gets deeper. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. And then it doesn't even describe what He's talking about. Loved us so much, John said, that He gave His only begotten Son to die for you and I. To suffer as God. I heard the other night in the revival, and my son put it so eloquently, my friend, that He became something that He wasn't, that I could become something that I am not. Only through and by Jesus Christ can that be done. Supernaturally changed, my friend. That's what this world needs. They need Jesus. God loved us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He passes by once in a while when we get in a gathering such as this, if we'll let Him. You know where it all starts? In a really near out way again. Not that you need to be re-saved, but you need to rekindle the faith that God has given us all, because I think it's getting dull, people. I think our faith is getting dull. And we don't act like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. We don't act like Daniel, my friend, getting ready to be thrown in the den. We don't act like Joshua. You know, when they went over there to fight every battle, he fell on his knees and got the plan from God. It's pretty plain what God wants from us. Come to me and I'll give you a plan. Come to me and I'll direct you in your past. Come to me and I'll give you the words that you need to share with your loved ones. Come to me with all your burdens and anything that else that would weigh you down, my friend, and lay them at the feet of Jesus. What did he say? I'll be with them. I'll be with you. I will hear you and I will answer you. Knock and it shall be opened. The Bible says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Something's wrong with our seekers these days, I think. When I say these things, I'm speaking of me. And since giving up the church and fellowship, I've been trying to find out what God wants me to do, you know. And sometimes being patient is a hard thing. Sometimes I just want an answer. I'm ready. I want to do something for the Lord. You know, I don't want to just feel like an old dinosaur getting ready to be extinct. But, you know, it's in God's timing, in God's way. I mean, He did it all for me. And His way is perfect, is it not? When He went to Lazarus and raised him, my friend, His timing was what it needed to be. 4 days, and he had been in the grave. 4 days he lay there, and he stinketh by now, Martha and Mary said. But God brought him forth, did he not? Because he wanted to make a point. I am that resurrection and that life. I am the one. It's not us. Never has been about us. He saves us. He changes us. I mean, think about it. Now, I want you to think about when God saved your soul. And even if it was at a 9-year-old child, you got changed. Yeah. See, maybe I wasn't like a sinner like you at 18, Brother Jeff, but I'm telling you, you were a sinner all the same. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are born with that depravity in them. Their nature is evil, my friend, all the way. I've got a 4-month-old grandchild, and he's lying already to his mama. It's in our nature. God changes that nature. He takes a broken vessel and he puts it back together. And you know what? I've tried to fix the broken things in my life. That's part of what my life's been. And sometimes I got it done. Other times I made a mess of it because I couldn't get it. I'm telling you what, every time that God puts something broken back together, it's perfect. It doesn't need adjustment. It doesn't need to be redone. There's no work order to call back because something was amiss and didn't get finished out. My friend, there was no punch list at all. When God does it, it's perfect. And when he saved my soul so long ago, my friend, he did it with perfection. Now, the flesh is not perfect, never has, will, never will be. It's going back to the ground from whence it came. It'll be dust one day. But we got work to do for the Lord, don't we not? The Hebrew writer said that in the 3rd chapter in the 14th verse, "For we are made partakers of Christ." I'm not just a participant. You're not just someone on the sidelines rooting the team on. You have been made partakers with Christ in a lot of things. One of them is his divine nature. Do you realize that? We are made partakers of Jesus Christ, his divine nature. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 and 4. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these ye might be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." He has made us partakers, not just sideliners. He's made us partakers of the Holy Spirit. I could spend hours on that one, all by itself. 2 Peter 1 and 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, but by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. And so we have access to that Holy Spirit. We are partakers of that. His holy nature, we are partakers of the Holy Spirit. He's done so much for us, my friend. We are partakers of his holiness, because it's through and by him that we keep the law of God. Pharisees and the Sadducees thought they could do it, but they couldn't. They look good on the outside, but they couldn't live. You can't live good enough, my friend. You can't do enough in this world to merit what God gives you by giving you grace and giving you faith and changing you supernaturally and making you his and making you not just merely adopted, but blood kin. Blood kin to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's made us partakers of his holiness, his divine nature. He's made us partakers of his suffering, has he not? We're going to get rejected. I have in the last 43 years been turned down by a lot of people. They don't want to hear it anymore. They have their beliefs. Now what do you do? Well, I guess it depends on what God tells you to do. Sometimes you just shake the dust off your feet and you go on and remember them in prayers. We're partakers of his holiness, his glory. God's given you a lot, people, and he's not asking for much in return. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, 10th verse. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." 2 Timothy 4:8. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only me, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Do you love his appearing today? Because the Bible says he is coming back. Amen. Our work will end one day. It's not right now. There's no place to retire, no matter how old we get or how even decrepit we get. How many of us have been witnesses to those upon their deathbeds that brought honor and glory to God? And you thought you were going there to bless them, my friends. It never works out that way for me. I always leave there more blessed and more drawn to Christ to do the work that He would have me to do every time, my friend. When we honor and we glorify God. Those are the kind of results you get. I didn't know if I was going to read this, but I will. I'll close with this. It's a poem, kind of. It says, it's the story, if you want to call it that. He says, I saw God today. If anything, tonight, I just wanted to come and remind us we are the children of God. We have been changed supernaturally by God. Our life is not our own because of God. We have a path that we need to go down. And if you don't know that path, you need to find it. Amen. No matter where it leads you. And I guess I'm preaching more to myself, Derek, than anybody else today. No matter where it may lead you. No matter, maybe if you don't want to, my friends. There's been a lot in the Bible that probably didn't want to do what they needed to do at the time. But when they did, they were glad because God was there and helped them every step of the way. We are the children of God. We are the joint heirs of Jesus Christ. We have a home when this life is over. We have a place of retirement and beauty and glory and honor, but it's not now. The story is called I Saw God Today. I saw God today as a tearful child found comfort in your arms. I saw God today as an old man's face was lit with hope by the grasp of your hand. I saw God today as a smile etched the lips of a stranger you greeted on the street. I saw God today as you stopped in the midst of a busy schedule to listen to a burdened soul. I saw God today as I spent the day with you, my friend, and through the hours, though the hours have flown and night draws near, today we'll linger on with memories so dear, for as we shared each hour's array, I met God through you today. Whatever reason, God does the saving. I don't want you to get me wrong here, but I'm telling you, you are saved by His grace. You are to do His work, and He's chosen you to be a spokesman, an ambassador. You are the one that is to go out here and reach a lost and dying world. He could have robots, but He doesn't. He has you and I. Are you the one going to step up for the Lord? Are you going to get yourself out of the way and say, Lord, here am I, use me? And do that what's burdening in your heart. I don't know what's burdening in your heart. Maybe there's nothing there yet, but maybe you need to ask for that burden. Amen. I remember, I've told this story several times. I had just went to Australia, and I thought actually I was going to move there. I preached in a little church in the outback, a little mission, and had great liberty and loved the people. And they needed a preacher, and why not? Lord, I'll go. That didn't make my wife so happy, but she thought I was going to go. We were going to go too. And that following weekend, you know, after we talked a lot, and I stepped up on the porch of Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church Sunday morning because they asked me to come, and they had without a pastor at the time. I said, really? Like I looked at the dirty ceiling, I said, really? Like I'm trying to see God? Because it was that clear to me. I don't know. I said, really? Again? I don't. Two, three times. I said, Lord, of all the places in the world, you want me here? I don't know all the reasoning, but I surely got blessed those 6 years or so. Amen. That night, they had business meeting. They called me for pastor, and Dean calls me up and said, well, brother, we unanimously called you as our pastor. You'll probably need time to pray about it. And I go, no, I'm good. God told me this morning. Oh. And I say that not because I'm special, but I'm telling you, every one of us can hear God that plain. I haven't always heard God that plain. By no means. John says I need to write a book about different experiences in the life of a Baptist preacher. We all probably should get together. It might be a bestseller. It'll be one people won't believe. the miracles that God has done and brought into my life and your lives and our lives. And all He asks us to do is what? To go forth and preach the Word of God. Hold up the banner of Jesus Christ. There's the meaning of why the 12 tribes had a flag. It designated who they were and what tribe. And then when they stopped and they set up their tent, they put it out there the world might see. This was the tribe of Judah. This was the tribe of Benjamin. Whatever that it is. Well, my friend, I'm the tribe of Jesus Christ. And we need to hold that bloodstain banner up for the world.
Amen.
So wherever you're lacking, wherever you fall short, you take it up with God and He'll help you.
Amen.
He will help you every single time. You say, I'm too little, I'm too weak, I'm too poor. There's not an excuse that God hasn't heard, and it doesn't really matter, because they're not excuses. Just know when He sends, He'll be there. In the sending. I could just go on and on. How good my God is. And I don't deserve it. But I do desire your prayers. As God would lead and guide me. In the way that He'd have me to go. And I pray that we can leave here today. A little closer to the Lord. A little bit more determined to say. It's me, Lord. I need something to do. I need a burden. I need you to show me. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I've seen you, some of you personally, when you've had such an overwhelming burden, it couldn't stop you. I've seen it. I haven't seen it in a while. I haven't heard it. I used to once in a while get a call or hear of a prayer request. A friend, it seems like God's people are waning. We've got things to do for the Lord. He's not. If you heard the trump, by the way. I haven't. It's not sounded yet. And that means we've got things to do for the Lord.
Amen.
Turn it over to Brother Derek. God bless you and thank you for letting me be with you today.